Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ben Roethlisberger is retiring. I'm actually sad that he's retiring because he stinks now. I'd rather him be the quarterback of the Steelers, but unfortunately he's retiring. I have no... Everybody's so emotional about it. I'm not at all. I don't care about Ben Roethlisberger at all. But sorry, Cynthia. I shouldn't have brought you in on that note. But Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network.
Funny.
I mean, I don't really care. I mean, he's got a shady background in the past that everybody kind of glosses over. Why do I have to wax poetic? He's not on my team. I don't care about him. Everybody's got to go bananas. I know he's a great player, but anyway.
I don't even know if I say he's a great player. I'm actually completely aligned with you. I'm like, and what? Like, this is, okay, whatever.
Yeah. So you're saying he's overrated. Is that it? He's very good, not great?
You know, we're really lucky now. I feel like there's a lot of, like, the young guys coming out especially are, like, really great dudes. Like, you may not like Joe Burrow, but he's a good kid. You may not like Patrick Mahomes, I mean, on the field, right? But he's a good kid. You know, like, these are, like, I feel like if my kid came home and was like, I want to be like Patrick Mahomes when I grew up, I'd be like, you know what? That's a good, do that. Like, let's go with that one. You know, like, whereas, like, if my kid came home and was like, I want to be like Ben Roethlisberger, I'd be like, no. I've done something terribly wrong as a parent.
Exactly. Cynthia, speaking of quarterbacks, I mean, you know, the quarterback, that's always the biggest conversation, of course, here in Cleveland. We thought the Browns found their quarterback. But here's the thing. Like, when I was a kid, I'm 50, right? I feel like years ago, you didn't need a great quarterback necessarily to win. There are quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls in the past, like Jim McMahon. He wasn't that good. And, you know, Trent Dilfer wasn't that good. And Brad Johnson. And there were guys who won that weren't that good because the game was different. But now, even more than it was 10 years ago, right, the game is so pass happy. The game is, all the rules are there to protect the quarterback in the passing game. I don't even, like, you used to be able to win maybe even with a below-average quarterback. I don't even know if you can win with an above-average quarterback anymore. So I look at Baker, who I think is, you know, okay. He's a solid quarterback. He stunk this year, and I'm like, we got to deal with Burrow. You got to deal with Herbert. You got to deal with Mahomes. You got to deal with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. How can the Browns compete with that? Do you have to keep looking until you can find a guy who's a top 10 quarterback? Or is that crazy? If you find a decent one, you just got to just build it up as best you can around him.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what the Browns decision makers come up with, because it really is about the sum of the parts. Because you've seen teams, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers, they make it to the postseason, and he hasn't been good in years. We're just talking about him. So you really have to have the entire team come together in a way that builds the entire ability to win. So I don't know it's more likely, given the way the rules have changed and the supply and demand of what kind of talent is out there available to be drafted, you have to come up with a cohesive strategy. Like, you heard John Mara talk about it yesterday, right? Like, we've done everything to screw up Daniel Jones. And in this moment of, like, kind of honesty and openness, he's not wrong, right? Like, you have to build up around the assets, around the players that you have. You can't just, you know, one player, and look, Joe Burrow kind of bucks that trend a bit, but kind of not really, because you also had some good pass catchers there. And like, you had a little bit, I mean, their O-line is still not good, but you also had a fourth place schedule, which is also lucky. So there's a few things that do help you parity wise, but you have to have the sum of the parts be really, really, really compelling to not have one of the top quarterbacks and still win.
We're talking with Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network. She's with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. talking about the Browns. We'll get to the playoffs here in just a second. So, you know, if the Browns do look for a quarterback this offseason, if they are aggressive in trying to get one, obviously we've talked a lot here about Aaron Rodgers. We've talked about Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson is a whole nother ball game with the off-the-field stuff. But let's leave those three guys out of it. Say that's not realistic for the Browns. If I gave you these guys as a possibility, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, let's stick with those three guys. Are those guys a big enough upgrade over Baker that they're worth going after in your mind?
No, okay. Because the price you have to pay is probably – I mean, look at what they're used to. You think – obviously everything is about what is the value, right? Like, what is the price you're going to have to pay to acquire the asset that you're looking to acquire? In my opinion, I don't think you're going to be able to get – like, Kirk Cousins had had guaranteed deals. Like, that man made, do you know how much money Kirk Cousins has made at the end of his contract? Holy smokes. Like, yeah. $200 million. Like, a ridiculous amount. So I feel like he probably doesn't value himself that way, right? Like, he probably sees it as, why would I accept less? I could, you know, he's pretty much set with the money situation, fair, right? So, you know, so I think that, and I think that if you're looking at a guy like a Jimmy Garoppolo, who, you know, now he'll have the potential to have been to two Super Bowls if they win this weekend. So I guess I just feel like I don't think it's worth punting on Baker. I think there's some things that need to happen. Obviously, some value of what is it. Like, it has to be the right price. But I don't think punting on Baker is the solution.
Cynthia Freeland with us from the NFL Network. I was reading your column about one advantage that each team has in the matchup between the Bengals and Chiefs here in the AFC Championship game. You talked about Travis Kelce. He gives an advantage over a lot of teams, certainly against the Bengals. Talk about why that's such an advantage in that matchup.
Yeah, and this matchup is really, if you look to see what Travis Kelce, you know, in the last matchup, he had 25 receiving yards, and obviously the Bengals won that one. The, you know, in the second half, the Chiefs were only able to score 3 points, and they just took their foot off the gas in that one. So I don't know if I would go so far as to say that the Bengals figured the Chiefs out, but what happened was, as you saw, you know, Logan Wilson, who is an underrated linebacker just in general, like, draw the Travis Kelce matchup, which stinks for anyone, let alone Logan Wilson. But what happened was that was really kind of part of the turning point. Everything after that, you saw Jerick McKinnon come out of nowhere. You saw a bigger reliance on other receivers. So Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman, even those 0-9 air yard passes, the at or behind the line of scrimmage situations that they came up with after that game in response to that game, because they saw, you know, Kelce demanding so much attention and then Hill on the outside as well. That's where they were able to exploit the mismatch. And now you've seen the Chiefs in the past few games use more different pass catchers. That's terrible English, but whatever. It makes sense. More different pass catchers than we've ever seen them use in the postseason before. We've seen more the Jerick McKinnon outside the tackles rushes and different sorts of wrinkles in that spread offense that we're used to that we didn't have in the regular season. So Travis Kelce, it's not going to look like Travis Kelce super, super high numbers, like not like 150 yards for him. It's just going to look like the space that Travis Kelce creates now for those other pass catchers is going to be really impactful in this matchup, because, you know, keep Logan Wilson away from your guys who are doing those short air yards passes, and that's the advantage Patrick Mahomes will have.
The Bengals have done a nice job winning, especially with 9 sacks last week, and still managed to Joe Burrow survive and win that game. But they're not going to be able to score 19, 20 points and beat the Chiefs. You know, they beat them in a slugfest in Cincinnati. Do you think the O-line, which played, you know, better against Kansas City than it did certainly against Tennessee, do you think they could hold up enough for Burrow to have a slugfest with Mahomes? And who do you like in the game?
Yeah, you know, I'm very curious to see the final injury report on this matchup, because I do think that Tyrann Mathieu is a huge difference maker. And
he practiced today, just so you know. I just saw it. There was just a tweet that he did practice.
I know, but that concussion protocol, that one's scary to me, because it's like, you don't know. So he should play. Let's just put it that way. He should play, but we don't know, because the protocol is what the protocol is, right? So, you know, that one's interesting to me. I think that No, the Chiefs, they rank 17th in the regular season in pressures. Well, if you look at actually only since Melvin Ingram was acquired, still 17th in the league. They're not a high sack team, one of the lower sack totals. They're not a this type of defense. They know it's funny because there's kind of some parallels. I'm not saying that Joe Burrow is Patrick Mahomes. Please don't get that confused. But they have some similarities, as in Joe Burrow is a lot more effective against single high safety looks than he is against two safety shells. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. It's kind of similar. It's probably because of a product of the types of college offenses that they came out of as well. And then, you know, the capacity of the Bengals defense to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, probably not the same, right? So what I look to see in this matchup, I think that O-line, they're going to get tested with just four-man rushes. Don't blitz Joe Burrow just like you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes. And the four guys up front are going to be tasked with a lot. Chris Jones, probably see a lot more of Chris Jones. So I do think the Joe Mixon and the flat stuff that has come out of the past 3 weeks, his use in the pass catching game is going to be impactful. I think this is going to be a closer than a 7.5-point game that is being forecast. I think it's going to be like a 3-point game, even with Tyrann Mathieu playing. But I still think the Chiefs win.
Okay. I agree. I think it's a close Chiefs win. In the NFC, we all know it's been talked about all week that San Francisco's won 6 in a row. They dominated the first game they played this. A lot of people picking the Niners. Maybe I'm naive. I probably am, and I always lean towards the better quarterback. So I'm taking the Rams in this one. Where are you on the Rams and Niners?
I think the Rams win this game in part because I don't know, like, how long can your shoulder and thumb hold on, even if you're not, you know, it seems like he's okay, but like I don't know, like these are problems. Like Aaron Donald is going to be a problem. I do think now what I saw in that last game in week 18 was a lack of a defense's ability to adjust once the Rams offense, once the Niners offense made adjustments coming into the second half. I don't think that's the case again, because there are only so many tricks you can pull out of your bag before, you know, you start to kind of play the same thing over and over again. And if Deebo Samuel is in any way banged up, that could be problematic for the Niners. I do actually think the Rams take this one. I think this is like razor thin margin. It's going to come down to whether or not, to me, the Rams defense can make the adjustments that they need to coming into out of the second half and can keep pressure away from Matthew Stafford. You know, don't blitz Matthew Stafford either. He's really good against the blitz, and they don't typically do that. Their four-man front is very, very capable of getting pressure on Stafford. I think Andrew Whitworth is slated to play. Last I heard from Sean McVay is that left tackle Andrew Whitworth should play.
Yeah,
that's a big difference maker. But the Rams seem to have this pattern in the past few games of jumping out to an early lead and then letting that lead erode in the second half. So yeah. I just think that in this matchup, they're going to really need to reinforce that second half defensive output. And away from Jalen Ramsey, away from Donald front and the front with Von Miller, et cetera. But, you know, that linebacker and safety level is targetable, and you know, Kyle Shanahan knows that. So I think this is a razor-thin win, but I think that the Rams take it.
Yeah, I thought McVay, maybe it's unfair. I don't know, you tell me what you think. I know they were up big, but against Tom Brady, I don't think you should ever take your foot off the gas. I thought he got too conservative because Stafford, for the first half of that game, was like seemed unstoppable, and then they took the air out of the ball in the second half. I didn't like that. Is that unfair? Too harsh criticism?
No, I don't think that's too harsh. I think what they were really trying to do there is get a few things back on. I think they kind of maybe were planning for the future a bit too much, meaning, you know, Cam Akers had some fumbles and they're trying to, and he's one of the bigger differences from their week 18 matchup with the Niners. And I think they were trying to kind of work some stuff out as opposed to saying, okay, we need to like really solidify this win. And it seemed like it did get a bit more conservative. And I do think that if they had it back, I think they probably would have, you know, I think they relied on their defense. And like I said, the defense is not great at adapting in second half. So I think they were thinking their defense would be a little bit more effective. And Tom Brady just found some things. And you should never, ever, like, ask anyone. You should never count Tom Brady out in the second half.
Cynthia, we really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I miss my Midwest. Every time I see anything Cleveland, I'm like, oh, home. Because, you know, I'm from that state up north that's shaped like a mitten, but I still love my Midwestern people.
Well, we appreciate that. Even if we hate Michigan, we still appreciate that.
Have a great
Thanks, Cynthia.
One.
Take care.
You got it.
All right, Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.